Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, the votes are in the championship round of the best trio under Matt Painter. And surprisingly, it was not close at all. The one seed JJ Robbie and Itoine run away with it over AJ, Biggie, and Ray. And we kind of talked about it, on the last episode. But I'm just kind of shocked at how much of a runaway victory it was for JJ Etuan and Robbie.
Yeah, man, that was my thing. Yeah, I'm not necessarily surprised that they won, but just how dominant a fashion that they did win. That just I didn't see that coming. I really thought that there'd be more love for Ray, AJ, and Biggie. But yeah, everyone spoke, so we're gonna go with what they said. And now it doesn't make me seem as stupid for what I said a couple weeks ago. So I feel slightly vindicated in that. And it does make me wonder though. For all those people who felt like the somewhat like the well the people who couldn't read team versus trio, but like the people who felt like the national championship team or three guys from Natty should have been there, makes me wonder what it would have been there. Might have been a fucking shutout.
The one seed won it all, so maybe we did have it right all along, but
Right.
nevertheless, appreciate everybody's interaction throughout the whole bracket there. Really enjoyed the discussions back and forth. And it's always fun to talk about former teams and former players, and you get a little nostalgia when you talk about those guys. So just want to thank everybody for their input and their vote, and had a lot of fun kind of breaking it down and talking about those guys. And also, while we're talking about that, want to give a quick shout out to Robbie Hummel. It was announced either late last week or over the weekend that he's going to be on the NBC NBA crew doing the commentary for them. So major accomplishment for him and well deserved. I think we've talked about it a few times last year, just how good he is on the broadcast, and really can't wait to see him carry that over into the NBA broadcast.
Yeah, no, he really has. He's become one of the rising stars within the broadcast world. And yeah, obviously, I think we all enjoy ha hearing him call college games, whether it was Purdue or non-Purdue games. I'm sure if you ask Robbie, he's probably going to think that it's a bigger accomplishment to have won the bracket that we had. You know what I'm saying? He's probably going to say that means more. But obviously, I think this might come in a nice, comfortable second place.
Yeah, I mean, so it was a really good week for him. He won this bracket and he gets a deal at NBC. So,
Right. I don't know how it gets better than that,
looking at the current basketball team, Sim, we are officially less than 100 days away from tip off. And in exciting news as well, over the weekend, if you follow Boiler Ball, which I don't know why you wouldn't at this point if you're listening to us, but they posted some pictures from a scrimmage over the weekend, and Omer is officially on campus. He won't be on campus that long because him and Brayden Smith will be going to the Elite Guard camp with Chris Paul, but it was nice to see the full roster on the court there.
Yeah, man, that's well, I think one by one over the last few weeks we've gotten Liam and then Oscar and now getting Omer on campus. And so yeah, now you feel like now we're having some opportunity to get some proper runs with everyone on board and just kind of starting to build that chemistry. And I think it's good for everyone involved. It's good for the players, because then you start to be able to build that those you start to understand people's tendencies and getting familiar with everyone. I think it's good for the coaches as well, because you can start to see how guys play with each other. You start to get ideas of, okay, what lineups do we want to see and want to run. And yeah, it just in terms of building working towards building what we hope to be, a team that makes an extremely deep run into the tournament. Yeah, it's just nice to have everyone there. But like you said, it's not gonna be for very long because Omer and Braden are going off to Vegas here soon.
Yeah, so that actually starts tomorrow. It
Yeah,
goes
all right,
from the
29th.
t 29th through August 1st in Las Vegas. So really cool to see both those guys getting their shot. And I saw Boy the Ball, I think, had a tweet about it that says that Purdue is slowly turning into point guard university. And it's kind of hard to argue with that now, but it's really neat to have two guys on the same team at that camp. Like, it's obviously it's in the name, Elite Guard Camp, but like, that's the best of the best. And so for two guards there, and one who hasn't even played a game
College game,
on
yeah.
U.S. soil, and he's already getting that recognition, man. That's really cool to see.
Yeah, man. And I think, like, overall, like, kind of like with the Boiler Ball account hinted at, like, I think it speaks to the state of the Purdue basketball program. You know, I mean, like, 10 years ago, would you have heard this? Like, I think we would have been fortunate to just have one guy, you know, who would go out to a camp like that, whether it had been, what, 10 years ago? So you would have, like, you know, you would have like a like Biggie or somebody like that out there, like a big man camp or something like that. But the fact that now, you know, you had to have two guards going to, you know, a camp that's hosted by what was by CP3, right? And then you know, out in Vegas, and I believe last year, like, Fletcher went out to, like, I think, like, a sh some like shooting guard camp as well. It really does speak to the state, I think, of Purdue basketball in terms of the quality of guys that we've been able to get. I think we've also, you know, I think there's a bit of a good fortune too in terms of, like, with the guys who've come in and what they have developed and become. But yeah, it just, I think it more so than just like, yeah, it's cool, but I think it speaks from an overarching standpoint about what the state of Purdue basketball is and how the Purdue brand has increased, which obviously we love because, you know, Painter's one of the best coaches in the country. So we're fortunate to have him, wanting to stay around forever. And you're just hoping that these are the type of things that are able to continue to help Purdue out going forward, because this has to be the type of stuff that, you know, you point to when you are, you know, going out there and recruiting and you're showing up and watching kids at AAU and you're having those conversations. You're like, look, like, we get good talent in here. And we not only get good talent in here, because you can look at Omer and be like, he's someone who's highly touted. So, but then you can also look at Braden and be like, yeah, we get guys in here and, you know, you bust your ass. And, you know, with being able to play in the Big Ten, you're going to play in big games and you have an opportunity to show yourself to where you can be, you know, someone who gets invited, maybe not like before your freshman year, but, you know, you work hard enough, you put in the skill, you the results show themselves, and you'll find yourself in similar positions. So I think it's really good. It's a great time for Purdue basketball right now, man. It really is.
Yep, 100%. Couldn't ask for that any better. But really cool to see. And speaking of really cool to see, just one last thing on basketball hoops. Not sure if you had the chance to check, but a 5 minute, I guess you call it, highlight video of a 5-on-5 scrimmage was released over the weekend. And as much of a sicko as I am, you know
There
that I
you go.
watched it.
There you go.
I don't know how many schools drop a 5 minute video in a preseason scrimmage and like how much buzz it generated. But Purdue, to your point, is one of those schools, and it was really neat to see kind of the guys going after it. And just kind of, one thing that really stood out for me was like how much Braden was getting tested. And it just kind of goes back to like iron sharpens iron. And we've talked about it with the bigs a lot, where like Edie would go up against Trevion Williams, and then Trey Kaufman Wren would go up against Edie, and how much it made those guys better. And seeing like Braden was getting picked up full court in a scrimmage game. And those guys, see all of the accolades that Brain has got, and they're gonna get in his grill and they're gonna give him everything that they can. And like, that's what you want to see in those scrimmages, because that's what Brain's gonna get night in, night out. And you know, you can make the case that, you know, he might not play, you know, the guys he's going up against in the scrimmage are some of the better guys he might play all year.
Yeah.
And you know, so for him to get tested like that, especially this early on, was one of the big things that stood out.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I mean, yeah, like you said, they were picking him up full court. I think the way that they were defending him, and like they were defending him like he was a guy who was in the conversation last year for National Player of the Year. And if what is transpiring is the fact that like these practices are so are like you know are he's getting battle tested in these practices to where the games are almost easier. Who knows what what Braden does for an encore from what he did last year, but like that is good, man. Like it's you don't necessarily want to see your guy just like yeah he's probably he's arguably the best player on your team, but you don't want to sit there and have him be just dominating practice. You want guys to be competitive. You want guys to take on the challenge. Even the guys who when the live bullets are flying and the games really matter will be on his side, but you want him to be getting tested like that. And it really seemed like it had that really competitive feel to it, and just and obviously, it's a 5-minute segment, and of course it's clipped, to show to come off a certain kind of way, but you can definitely get a feel for some of the intensity that was going on within that practice, and it very much so seemed like nobody was getting anything easy, like everyone was having to work for their stuff, and if this team really is what if this team wants to get to where we hope they can get to. These are the type of those are the type of practices, those are the type of scrimmages that will help them do that. Because, like you said, it just goes back to the whole concept of iron sharpening iron. When you have guys who are competing on both sides, even within your own locker room, and who want to make each other, it just makes everyone better, and the guys want to get better. So, yeah, it was a really good clip to see. I thought I was actually worried, and you might still do it, but I was worried you're gonna go down the same kind of like Omer line that you did a couple weeks ago.
No, not yet, but we have 100 days, or I guess it's 99 days until this season starts. So there is plenty of time, my friend, for us to go down that rabbit hole, but it will not be this evening.
Oh, shucks.
But yeah, just wanted to mention that and highlight that. And boy, the ball, please keep giving us videos, because I need all the basketball content that I can get my eyes on. So I will leave it at that. Switching gears a little bit, wanted to talk about the Purdue football and their media day last week. So they were in Vegas on Thursday. It was Coach Barry Odom, running back Devin Mockabee, defensive back Tony Grimes, and defensive lineman CJ Madden. And they, you know, obviously not a lot of buzz around them. So, you know, not a lot of hype out there, but I feel like they really handled their own. And, you know, one thing that just kind of stood out to me, Simon, we talked about it prior to this, was, you know, how specifically the three players they were on the set with Big Ten Network as a trio, and they all were kind of asked you know, about their expectations and kind of how they're being treated, and it really came off as like a very us against the world mentality, and like that they have something to prove. And I know it's the middle of July, and you know, everybody's making good press conferences right now, and you still got to go out and actually play the games. But it was hard not to be impressed with at least kind of how they held their own, and kind of, you know, they didn't run away from the fact of how bad everything went last year, but also kind of highlighted that this is a brand new squad, and so, you know, they've got a lot to prove, and they're kind of itching to get out there.
Yeah, no, and that's good, man. Like to hear that, to hear like you said, an acknowledgement of what of the past, especially for a guy like Mockaby, who was there last year, but also understand like there's nothing they can do about last year. What they can do is, make sure that they're putting in the work to try to turn this thing around and have a better year this year. Yeah, they're aware of the fact that they have extremely low expectations by, by most pundits in the media, and trying to take that and utilize that as fuel of like, no, we're gonna come out and we're gonna compete. Kind of echoing some of the same things that I think Odom had said in his time during media day. And yeah, I know for myself, like I just look at this summer and like going into this season a lot like Brahms' first year. When you came off of the Hazel era, and it was rough, to put it mildly, and just kind of like a, all right, man, like you kind of have to build this thing back up build it from the ground up, and you kind of have to work on getting better every day. It's not going to necessarily turn around for you, with the snap of your finger. But if you're continuing to put the work in and pay attention to the details, you find yourself competitive in some games, and before you know it, yeah, you could go ahead and rattle off some wins and end up overachieving. And overachieving isn't necessarily going to mean like, oh, they win, 9, 10 games, and all of a sudden, like that school down south did last year. It's not going to be necessarily that, but what is it, the over under set at 3.5 games? So, there's a lot of, I think, a lot of cautious optimism within the from what I gathered from Media Day, and I'm okay with that. I don't see why you wouldn't be. You do want to have some level of like confidence of like, no, man, all these guys, we're in here, we're working, we're busting our ass, and like you said, it's only July, so everyone can kind of come off a certain way. But for these guys, you hope that quiet confidence that they have in terms of the work that they're putting in, you hope that can that's able to show itself, it's able to materialize and starting in a month.
Yeah, and you kind of talked about it a little bit, but I want to kind of dive into it a little bit more with that quiet confidence, because I think it starts at the top. And I think Coach Odom has been very selective in his confidence. Like two things that really jump out to me. One was, he straight up called out the school down south and how they schedule, which is, you know me, I'm always a fan of talk your shit. And so, as a fan of that, I really liked him going out there and kind of calling out IU for their soft scheduling. And then he had a pretty interesting answer when he was asked about the expectations and, Purdue being picked to finish 18th in the Big Ten. And he just basically kind of said with a little smile that the last time he was picked to finish last in his conference, they ended up in the championship game, their conference
That's just pretty good.
championship game. I think that confidence starts at the top, and you can sense it, just in kind of how the players feel too. And to me, that's a really encouraging sign for this year.
Yeah, man. I think I said last time we recorded, I was eager to see how what he would say, and just kind of how Odom would kind of choose his words, because these are the this is the day where you can say some stuff that that it might not age well. But I think he did a good job of being a, of exuding of exuding confidence in terms of like what he and his staff are doing, in terms of like I think he was talking about they've instituted this thing called like the Purdue Way, which is like, I think it's like a list of like 16 principles or like guidelines that guys are following or whatnot, and just the work that they're doing every day, and how they believe that they are, building towards something good, but also being sure to be like, but also kind of, but not going so far as being like, no, we expect to be like one of the best teams in the Big Ten. It's just more of like, no, like we know that we have to build this thing, day by day, brick by brick, but like, as long as we continue, as long as we kind of stay the course and work on getting better each day, we will get to we'll get to somewhere much better than where we were last year. I thought it was good too. He pointed out like, he's like, I wasn't part of the team last year, so I didn't have anything to do with that. But then he was very quick to say as well, he's like, but I also wasn't here 3 years ago when Purdue was in the Big Ten championship game. So yeah, I really enjoyed his his remarks from Media Day, because like I said, it seemed like he exuded a certain level of confidence in terms of like what they're doing, but also didn't want to go so far as to really try to set a new level of expectations. I think that I think the whole team is kind of relishing to a certain extent the notion that people really think they're going to be this bad again.
Yeah, and he even to your point, he even made it a point to call out about how he wants to get back to the Joe Taylor days, and how successful of a program Coach Taylor ran, and so if we can get back to there, sign me all the way up.
Hell yeah.
But just thought that was kind of interesting too, that he kind of went out of his way to highlight that as well. The other thing I just wanted to touch on from Media Day, I thought it was really cool to see Devin McAbee there, and for him to kind of get his flowers on a national stage, because I feel like Sim, he's kind of a very underrated player, not only in the Big Ten, not only in college football, but also in just like the Purdue world. Like I don't know if a lot of people knew prior to Media Day, that Devin has a real legit shot of being the rushing leader at Purdue.
That's
He's
crazy.
1,170 yards away from eclipsing Mike Alstott's record, and he's never gotten 1,000 yards in his career. He's been really, really close. But I mean, that's right there. And so for him to kind of go down as one of the best running backs to ever play, like you think about his resume and, how he started, went to a Big Ten championship, but also kind of with like how it's going to end too, about, he's one of the few guys that stuck around to help kind of transition this thing. And if, Purdue is successful in the hiring of Odom and kind of, moving forward as a football program, I think you're going to look back and like really highlight about how much of an impact Devin had as being one of those guys that stick around and transition the team into this new era.
I think you need a guy like McAbee whenever you have a kind of a leadership changer, and overall the way that Purdue has this offseason, you need some familiar faces, some guys who want to stay and just be loyal to the fact of like, no, like we can turn this around here. And like you said, I you know we you mentioned that stat about him being what 1,176 yards away from being their all-time rushing leader. I mentioned that before we started recording, and I couldn't, I mean, like I'd kind of pause for a moment. I didn't realize that he was that close, because honestly, like that's a, like you said, he hasn't had a 1,000-yard rushing season, and genuinely, especially depending on how the way the season starts, like that could be extremely achievable, especially if this is a thing where, Purdue is a lot more competitive. I'm not necessarily saying from wins and losses, but if they're just more competitive, then you can see him having those stat lines to where he, he could be towards the end of the season and he could be right there. And like you said, it's his when you take a moment to really look at his journey and his time at Purdue, especially the fact that he could have very easily left. Like, no one would have blamed him if he left after last year. I mean, I don't blame really anybody for leaving last year. It was really bad. And if you believe in yourself as a football player and think that your talents can be, better suited somewhere else, like, yeah, you're free to go and do that. But for him to stay, and depending, and obviously, I think, to an extent, regardless of how the season goes, I think that'll be very much so like remembered by the fan base. But even more than football, man, like he's always just seemed like a Purdue guy through and through. Like I feel like I've seen so many posts of him this off season where he's been doing stuff off the football field, like within the community and stuff like that. And I think he talked about too about how important like getting his degree from Purdue was. Like it's just Purdue's always been kind of something that's almost like in his blood. And for this to be the coming into like the final chapter of his time at Purdue, you root for a guy like that. And like you said, and Dustin says in his article on SI.com, he talks about how even if he doesn't get the record, he's still going to be remembered for a long time. And I genuinely think he will. I think he will by a lot of those that this core for Purdue fan base, that a lot of us will remember him, especially if in like not necessarily next year. Like not necessarily this year, but like if like in a year or two, Purdue's back at the point where like we're in the hunt for getting in, getting to like the Big Ten championship, we'll remember in terms of like the building blocks, a guy like Maccabee who was important for him to stay. I think we would probably be drawing parallels to like with Ray in basketball, how like when it was bad, about like how he was one of the guys who just kind of like helped turn things around. So by the time, even though he was gone, and then when they won the Big Ten a few years later, like every guy on that team was like, I remember it was like Vince and Dakota and PJ all talked about how like, no, like the guy who like it was a guy like Ray who's like a big reason as to like why we're here. And I think that they even gave him like a Big Ten championship ring. I'm not for sure about that. I thought I'd heard that, but I think like we could be saying the same thing about Mock in a couple years. So really excited for him this year, man. And I hope he does get the record, honestly.
Yeah, I do too, and that's as a big Mike Allstock guy, but it'd be really cool, and I like the comparison with Ray. And right before you were gonna bring that up, I was leaning more towards like a David Teague or Carl Landry type, only because that was kind of during Matt Painter's early years, so like that's kind of they helped transition into the Painter era. Which is what Maccabee hopefully will do with Odom, but I love that one as well. And I'm glad you brought up the off the school or the off the field stuff as well, because I just wanted to highlight, like you said, he's going to get his mechanical engineering degree. That's not anything like an OLS degree or anything like that. Like, we're talking about mechanical engineering. And he also, this offseason, donated, I believe it was $10,000, to the high school in his hometown. So, I mean, he's doing a lot of things out there. And just, he's one of those guys, like you said, easy to root for, want to see him do well. And you're just happy that he's wearing your team's jersey, because he's just one of those guys that you just want to see do well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We will have much more kind of on the football preview and looking ahead, because Sim, I don't know if you believe it or not, but we're like a month out, man. The college
Crazy.
football season kicks off August 30th. It is going to be here before we know it. But we'll plan on having a couple preview episodes where we'll talk about the offense in general and the defense in general. And then we'll do how we did last year as well. We'll kind of preview each week. But man, it's almost that time where football is almost in the air.
Yeah, man, the stress is was about to be on us a certain kind of way, man. Yeah, it just it feels like it wasn't. I mean, yeah, I just I'm excited for football because I'm just excited to be able to, much like they were talking, like we talked about with media day, that like they were talking about, like we can't do anything about last year. Last year was what it was, but just an opportunity to start fresh and just try to start building towards something better, something that hopefully Odom's able to build something good and something that's sustainable for a while. I think it was, it's sometimes it's hard to believe that it was just 3 years ago, that Purdue was in the Big Ten championship. And I remember those feelings of like, man, like, so this is pretty lit. Like, could this be like a thing? And obviously, God forbid, nice things. But yeah, man, it's crazy to look at it now. And like, I mean, we're recording on the 28th, so obviously it'll come out on the 29th, but essentially it'll be a month away from the opening day. So can't wait to be back in Ross Aid, even though like the sun's probably gonna just be blazing. But yeah, it's just be
And
time to really
not
be
only that,
chance officially turn the page on the next year and officially turn the page and start something fresh, man. Just excited for that.
Not only that, but Just real quickly, back in Ross Ade, which some have called the toughest place to play in all of Big Ten. Just calling that out there. I thought that was really neat. And we've talked about it all the time. I think to me, it speaks just to the fan base here. One, just how like loyal they are. And two, just how much they just want a good product out on the field.
Though that's, I've said multiple times, as a season ticket holder myself, man, we're showing up. Last year was rough, but I was still at every one of those games, and so was, so were a lot of other people. People were, we continue to show up, and it speaks to the loyalty of the fan base, and how much they want to see good product on the field, and how much they desperately want to get behind a team that is working hard and putting forth the good effort. And so, I when I heard that, I thought at first I thought it was a joke, that when that comment was made. But and I've been on record of saying, like, there's something about, because I believe, yeah, the Oregon game last year was a night game, and I've long said there's something about a night game at Ross-Ade. But yeah, just to have that validated by, the newcomers of the conference, that does speak a lot. I think that was, yeah, that was a pat on the back for all of us loyal Purdue fans, for sure.
So again, we'll have much more on the football team, kind of our expectations and kind of a preview of both sides of the ball. We are about a month away from the kickoff against Ball State at Ross-Ade Stadium. But wanted to switch gears a little bit. And speaking of media days, the volleyball team hosted their media day in Chicago on Monday the 28th. It was Coach Dave Trondell, outside hitter Kenna Woolard, and setter Taylor Anderson, all there representing Purdue. And I think, Sim, we'll dive into it a whole lot more when we get Nate on, and kind of bounce some things off of him. But the I don't think Dave could kind of run away from the questions about, all of the changes that went in within this roster over the offseason. I was a little surprised probably about how honest he was. He flat out said, he was shocked, and it took him a few days to kind of recover. So I'm curious to get Nate's thoughts on that. But that was kind of my big takeaway was, he didn't say any names specifically, but he was pretty open about kind of all the changes and the roster turnover here in the offseason.
I agree, man. I was taken aback by how candid he was about that, and talking about just kind of his emotions and his reaction to it. I know you and I were stunned when we heard about the when we heard about players leaving, and but it was so but he also put some good perspective on it by saying, like, this is just kind of the way it is now, and it's gonna happen. And how, like, this could happen again at Purdue. It's going to happen at other good schools, because obviously the landscape and the way that the way that college sports operate now is just differently. Excuse me, it's just different. And and I think he kind of did the same as Odom did, in terms of, still having some confidence about, like, look, man, we're Purdue. We're gonna play volleyball. We've historically been one of the better teams in the Big Ten. The expectation to still be good and still be competitive in the Big Ten. And but also did make it a point to show, like, look, this could be a bit bumpier than it has been in previous years. I think he feels confident about the people he was able to get in via transfers, and obviously some of the freshmen. But also, I think he understands too, like, with the players who left, you don't just fill that void seamlessly. There's probably going to be some growing pains. But he talks about how, he's got a bunch of young women who want to learn, want to get better, and are coachable. And so, like, that gives him that optimism in terms of, like, no, this, like, we can still make something good out of this year. But yeah, it just I'm actually I'm eager to, like just like you said, I'm eager to talk with Nate and just kind of bounce some things off of him of like to get his perspective, his insight on it. And I thought it was interesting too. And I apologize for taking this point from you, but even looking at the media preseason pick and seeing that Purdue's at 7, and I feel like that's just like just slightly lower than what we usually are at, which again just speaks to it just speaks to kind of, I think, some of the uncertainty in terms of when you have that type of player turnover. But again, just as Dave said, and I think as you know, you if you've been paying attention to college sports, you have to become aware of is that like now with the transfer portal and NIL, and obviously like what is it with the profit sharing and stuff like that. Now that there's just more money involved in college sports, you're going to see this type of turnover happening, and it's going to happen in more than just football and basketball. It's going to make its way into volleyball. It's going to make its way, you know, into baseball and softball. It already is, and so the unfortunate part about it is that Purdue's not going to be. We're not going to be excluded from that, you know. So, and sometimes these things will work out in our favor, and other times, like this, you could say this past off season, it's not. You know, it's going to be something that we don't necessarily like, but still excited for the ladies this year, and I still think there's a lot of good to be had. I thought it was interesting how Kenna Woollard and Taylor Henderson both said the place that they were excited to play the most was Mackey, not another team's facility, but. But Mackey, which obviously been a Mackey, you've heard that place be loud. Yeah, checks out.
Yeah, and I can see why, based off of the environment there last year, was really cool to see. The other quote or comments that kind of stood out to me from both Kenna and Taylor was when they were asked kind of who they looked up to and like who they were embracing as far as like leadership roles. They both mentioned Raven Colvin as one who they're trying to kind of embody, and who they really, looked to as a leader last year. I thought that was pretty interesting, that they both went with Raven there, and deservedly so. One of the best players in Purdue history, but just thought that was kind of interesting as well that they both highlighted Raven there as a player that they looked up to.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But really good stuff there. And like you said, the preseason poll came out as well. And the Boilermakers come ranked 7th, with Nebraska at 1, Penn State at 2, Wisconsin 3, Minnesota 4, UCLA 5, USC 6, and then the Boilermakers at 7. So to your point, Sim, like I didn't expect like us to be ranked like at the very top, but used to seeing kind of in that 4-5-ish range. And so to see at 7 just seems a little bit low. But I'm gonna assume it's just because of all the roster turnover. And really kind of not really knowing for sure what kind of team you have right now.
Yeah, no, and we were talking about this, and we're probably gonna talk about it more with when we get more into football. But just in this day and age, man, you're when you have a lot of movement on your roster, I think we're gonna get to more of a point where when you're doing stuff like choosing preseason rankings, you're I feel like if you're a media person, you're probably gonna be more inclined to lean on the more more familiar names, like the familiar powerhouses. And not that's not to say that like Nebraska or Penn State won't be good, but obviously like odds are they're gonna be good. So and then you're gonna have, you know, and so like for a team like Purdue, when you have that type of the roster movement you have, and yeah, you might have gotten some good players, but you don't know how that's gonna gel. You don't know how quickly that's gonna kind of like take hold. So you do have to kind of proceed with a bit of caution. You know, you almost you temper your expectations a bit. And I think obviously we as fans are probably going to do that, are doing that as well, because you do what you do. It is kind of like a wait and see when you're not having some of those key mainstays returning.
And again, we'll have much more when we have our guy Nate on to kind of help us preview everything related to volleyball. Hoping to have that next week. Keep an eye out on Twitter when we get that confirmed. We will make sure to get a tweet out. But yeah, that'll just about wrap this episode up. Really good stuff. Got, a lot of, football, volleyball, basketball all right around the corner. So, it's a fun time. Nobody's played a game yet, so all the expectations are real high and everybody's super excited and hasn't been let down yet. So, it's a fun time. And we will see what happens. Like we said, we'll have much more football previews as well. We'll have a volleyball preview out here, and then we will be off and running with football here in a month. So want to thank everybody again for all their continued support. Thank you for all the interactions on all of the social media platforms. Please keep interacting with us. And most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.